You're listening to Leah on Love. Welcome back to another episode. I feel like it's been such a long time since I've sat down to do a solo episode, so welcome back to myself. I'm happy to be here. Lots of things have been happening behind the scenes. Just this week on Monday, or last week, by the time you'll be listening to this, we started the new round of Radiant Relationship Academy with 20 incredible women inside. These women are just getting started in an incredible life-changing journey for the next 3 months, where they're going to completely up-level and transform their relationship and love life. I'm so excited for them. If you're interested in joining one of our future rounds, the link for the waitlist for RRA is going to be in the show notes. So go ahead and get on the waitlist and you'll be the first to know about any updates when we open enrollment again. For today, we are going to dive into 5 reasons why your picker might be off. This is so important because have you ever said this? Like, let's just be honest for a moment. Have you ever said these words of like, my picker is just off? It's this excuse many of us will make to sort of excuse our bad choices when it comes to dating, when it comes to choosing partners. I've said these words in my past, and that's really actually what it felt like in my past when I would end up with unavailable, just like not great people. And so if you've ever wondered, like, why do I keep ending up with the wrong partners? Sometimes even the red flags are obvious, but you just go along with it. You still choose them. You still spend your time with them. You still date them. And often it's because we feel this really strong attraction. We feel this pull towards this person. And it feels like, well, I can't control who I'm attracted to. I can't control who I have these feelings for. So then it makes it easy to excuse bad behavior or red flags and just go along with it. But then what happens? You end up months down the road, years down the road, and it doesn't work out. It ends up like all the past relationships, and you're there saying, well, my picker must be off. So what's cool about this is, yes, your picker probably is off, but there's reasons why, and you can actually do something about it. So check this out. This is something that a lot of people don't know. You can actually speed up the amount of time it takes to attract your ideal partner, not by sitting in your bedroom under the full moon and manifesting. That can be helpful if done correctly. But what is foolproof and proven as a way to speed up and accelerate the amount of time it takes to attract your ideal partner who is actually compatible with you is by identifying what's stopping you. Identify what's in your way and stopping you from connecting with this partner. Once you identify it, you actually resolve it. So you don't just identify it, you need to actually do the work around it to resolve it. And if you do this, it is proven that it will accelerate the amount of time it takes to attract your ideal partner. Pretty cool, right? So let's get into the 5 reasons why your picker might be off. Reason number 1 is pretty loaded and complex, and for the sake of today's conversation, we're gonna like really simplify it. Reason number 1 is past experience, specifically when your past experience is unhealed. This could be past relationships, experiences from childhood, this could be past traumas. When our past experience is not integrated and healed, this is why your picker would be off. So let's understand this a little deeper. A few ways this could show up is, let's say you were conditioned to, as a child, you were taught and conditioned, this is just what was around your environment, that unhealthy behaviors were normal. Maybe it was self-abandoning. Maybe your mom always really self-sacrificed herself and self-abandoned and played the victim. maybe someone in your life was really manipulative or there was some form of abuse. Or your childhood was just really chaotic. Maybe it was like, I don't know when dad's going to be home or not. Maybe he was like super unavailable. Maybe there was just this like chaos in your childhood or in your younger years. This experience or any of these experiences can lead to subconsciously choosing partners who mirror that. So finding yourself in relationships that are chaotic or going for men who are unavailable, just like your father, or showing up as the victim, as the self-sacrificing person that your mother was. We reenact these past experiences even as adults, and we do this subconsciously. All humans do this. This is why our past experience really needs to be integrated. We need to understand how it's impacting us and do the work around it. So it could also look like past relationships. So for me, it was my marriage when I got divorced. I've talked about that story on here on the podcast before. For other people, it might be like a heartbreak, or maybe all the men you've dated have been have called you bad names, have been like really mean to you, and it's really impacted your self-worth. Anything that's this like unresolved hurt, this past experience, we internalize that. And then again, it can lead us to seeking out similar experiences that feel familiar. So this is why we have the experience of like, I don't know, I just feel this attraction to him. I feel this connection with him, even though like he doesn't really meet the qualities I say I want in a partner, but I'm just attracted to him. So I'm going to date him. It's because it feels familiar in some way. And that this will be different for many people. It might be the chaos. It might be the unavailability. It might be they're mirroring to you your unworthiness. This is why it's really important to do the self-work and be reflective and figure out what it is for you. And this is why it can feel so frustrating when we find ourselves, we're like, okay, this guy's going to be different. This relationship's going to be different. And then it's not. A few months down the road, we're sitting there like, how did this happen again? I really thought this time was going to be different. It's because these past experiences are unhealed. They're unintegrated. They're running the show. Again, this is a really big one to dig into. Maybe I'll do a whole episode on this, but essentially this is around you unconsciously repeat familiar dynamics, even unhealthy ones, even undesirable ones, because they feel normal to you. They feel familiar to your system. So this is one of the reasons why your picker could be off. Let's get into the second reason why. So this one is you not having a solid blueprint or example of what healthy love or healthy dynamic or healthy communication looks like and feels like. And this is something that's so present for so many people. If we didn't have our parents model that, our people in our life model for us, this is a healthy functional relationship. This is how healthy adults communicate. If we don't have a blueprint, but actually our blueprint is the opposite, it's dysfunctional, it's chaotic, it's toxic, well, what are we going to do? We're going to base how we interact in love and relationship off of our blueprint. Again, this is going to be happening subconsciously. So this can lead to misunderstanding love and attraction for toxic dynamics. We might confuse intensity with intimacy or attraction, or we might confuse control with care. And again, this is because we don't have a solid blueprint of what love, healthy communication, healthy dynamic looks like. And this kind of correlates with the first reason, right? Because we all have a blueprint. But from the time we're born until we become an adult, that blueprint is being formed by our parents, people, significant people in our lives, this blueprint of this is love. This is how relationships work. And so we base the people we choose, the people we date, how we do relationships off of that blueprint, whether we're aware of it or not. And so as we become adults and we're responsible for ourselves, we're also responsible for, if I don't have a solid blueprint or how I've been doing love and relationships isn't actually healthy and doesn't actually feel good for me, I'm responsible for rewriting and recreating that blueprint. If I need to hire a coach or go on a retreat or read books or whatever I need to do to figure out what is the blueprint that actually works for me and that I actually want to choose for healthy love, healthy communication, and healthy relationship. So why do I keep ending up with the unavailable guy? Why do I end up with people who say they're going to stay and then they leave? Well, it has to do with your blueprint. Look at the source. Look at your blueprint. That's what you're working with. And again, as adults, it's our responsibility. Maybe you didn't have much say in how that blueprint was formed and what's on that blueprint, but you do now, and you can recreate it and you can rewire it. So that's the second reason why not having a solid blueprint or model for what healthy love and healthy communication looks like and feels like. The third reason why is this fear of being single, this fear of loneliness. And so if we're not comfortable being alone, or we feel like we're less successful or less worthy if we're alone, well, we're going to rush into relationships that aren't right. We're going to lower our standard to be in a relationship, even if it doesn't fulfill us. And there's a lot of external pressures of timeline, then like you're in your 30s, you should be married. There's pressures from society, from our parents, from family. And there's a stigma. And that's completely valid. That's present, yes. And we don't have to buy into it. When we start to buy into these things, it starts to harm us. We put all this pressure on ourselves, and then it clouds our judgment. It clouds our discernment. And we may ignore our own desires or needs or values. And then we fall into a loop of self-abandonment. And then we look around our life and we're like, how did I even end up here? This is not the relationship I actually want for myself. And so this fear of being single, it's also this like you might have this idea or this feeling of this fear of being alone. I know so many clients that I work with have some of them have mostly been in relationships the majority of their adult life. And so just the idea of being alone and having to just like, do life on your own can feel so scary and heavy. And that's not the reality for all of us. Some people thrive being alone and they're actually more of like hyper independence, and that has its own issues of, you know, that's a whole nother story. But for this one, for those who resonate, it's the work around this one is getting really comfortable being alone and actually really valuing your alone time and the life you get to create for yourself as a single woman, because that's actually the point you must reach to be able to have a fulfilling relationship. Because if I need a partner to fulfill me, or if I only feel worthy or successful or enough if I have a partner in my life, it's going to be really dysfunctional. So the fear of being alone, this also leads to rushing into commitment. I see this all the time. You meet someone, things are going okay, and it's like immediately we just like get into this like committed relationship when we're actually not that aligned, and it's actually not what I truly want for myself. Maybe our long-term goals aren't aligned, or like some really big character things or qualities aren't aligned, but the opportunity to get into a relationship, you just like jump into it. So it can cause us to rush into commitment without really checking in with ourselves around like, is this what I really, really want? Is this truly the person for me? So these pressures, this fear of being single, it causes women to settle for less than ideal partners. And that is what we're all about here with my work, is your ideal partner, not just any partner. I tell my clients this all the time. My role is not to support you in just getting into any relationship. That's not what I'm here to do. My role is to hold the vision for you as you really claim your desire of what you truly want in a relationship, and then raise your self-worth to really step into that and embody that and get to a place of, fuck yeah, I can have that. Of course I can have that. And then attract that person. And that means saying no to people who aren't that. And so if you have this fear of being single forever, your picker is going to be messed up, right? Like, you're going to choose the wrong people. All right, that's number three. I'm interrupting this episode really quick to tell you about the Reignite the Passion Free Summit happening April 26th and 27th. I'm going to be speaking at this summit along with 20 plus other incredible speakers from all around the world. This summit is designed to help you improve communication, deepen intimacy, and reclaim your zest for life. So the truth is, life gets really hectic, right? I'm very busy. I'm sure you're very busy. Your partner's probably very busy. And sometimes we just forget to make time for the things that really light us up and mean the most to us. So that might be intimate connection and more passion. And it really doesn't matter if you're single right now or in a relationship. I think we all want these things in our life. So we gotta make time for them. The cool thing about the summit is, first of all, it's free. Second of all, you can join from the comfort of your own couch, and there's gonna be replays available. So you can join for free, and if you're not available this weekend, you can still watch the replays. Some of the topics myself and the other speakers are going to be diving into include keeping intimacy fun and creative, secrets to sustaining passion and getting out of your head, your feminine dating archetypes and feminine communication secrets, intimacy after cheating, and fighting fair in your relationship. It's so juicy, so you're gonna wanna join. Find the link in the show notes to reserve your seat for free. Again, it's gonna be in the show notes, Reignite the Passion Summit. You can also find the link on my Instagram, link in bio. I cannot wait to see you there. Moving into number four, this is all around self-worth. No surprise here. You know I had to throw this one in here. Low self-worth, low self-esteem. Okay, so let's break it down. If you have low self-worth, this influences who you choose, right? How you feel about yourself and your self-belief and your self-concept is going to impact who you choose as a partner. If you have so low self-worth, you are going to choose the low-risk partners. This is something I've talked about as well on the podcast. Low risk, meaning you're not going to choose your ideal partner because that's too scary for you. You don't believe you're actually worthy of that, or you can have that. So you're more likely to choose partners who reflect back to you what you deep down or subconsciously believe about yourself, which might be, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of my needs being heard. I'm not worthy of my desires being met. And this is what happened for me when I got divorced and I was so manipulated for years, and him telling me things like, you're not a good person, you're a terrible wife, like saying these things to me repeatedly, I internalized them and I started to believe them. Even though I could logically say, no, I don't think that's true. After someone tells you that again and again and again, this is more of an extreme example, but this happens in many different ways. If you're in a relationship and maybe you have a complaint, or you just, something's coming up for you, you're feeling a certain type of way, and they say, like, you shouldn't feel that way. Or, hey, I was a little bit worried about this. I just wanted to see how bring it up to you and they're like, why are you worried about that? It's no big deal. You could internalize, oh, my needs or my worries aren't important. This happens on so many levels. And so if we don't address this, we're going to, so again, back to my example, what happened for me? I internalized that. So for about the next 4 years to follow after my divorce, I only chose people and partners who in some way reflected back to me, I'm unworthy of healthy love. Right? So this is such a big one. This is such a big one. And self-worth is one of those things that's really misunderstood by a lot of people. It's misunderstood in the way people will say, you know, I'm confident. Like I do have self-worth. I'm confident. But you're not considering how self-worth actually works. Is your self-worth dependent on the person you're dating? Like if you don't have anyone you're talking to or you're dating, or let's say your partner's upset with you, does that impact your self-worth? Have you actually looked at the ways you've internalized things people have reflected back to you? Like really getting clear on your self-concept. This is so important. And it doesn't mean like, it's not white and black, right? Like it's sort of this spectrum and it can be fluid. We really have to understand how our self-worth works and how we can stabilize it. So if you have low self-esteem, you might not deep down believe you deserve a man to be stable and consistent, because maybe you've never experienced it. So maybe I don't deserve it. That can be another reason this happens. If you've never had a man be consistent and fully choose you and voice how he feels about you, you might have come to the conclusion that, well, I must not deserve it, right? And so that's going to impact your self-esteem. And then this will lead to you choosing partners who don't treat you well. And our final reason why your picker might be off is number 5, which is lack of clarity around your non-negotiables. This one sounds so simple, and I think because it sounds simple, people just skip over it. And people just think like, I know what I want. I know what I want. And there's so much opportunity here. This is what a big focus we dive into within RRA. All of these are a really big focus in RRA, but this one, it's just, again, it's misunderstood. We need to know what our non-negotiables are and what our deal breakers are, because guess what happens when we don't? We end up with the wrong people. We say, oh, maybe that's not that important to me. And then we like end up in this relationship and it's not what we want. Or we're like, oh, maybe that's not that big a deal. And then we end up in that same loop once again. So without a clear idea, like a really solid foundation in what you value and what you need in a relationship, you find yourself repeatedly dating people who are not actually a good fit for you. And this one is so much around self-discovery. I just led a client, a one-to-one private client, through this process where we first get clear on her values. And there's an exercise I take my clients through to get so clear on who are you as a human, as a woman, and what is important to you about your life, about your existence. And we narrow it down to 3 to 5 core values that you embody. And then we get clear on your non-negotiables in relationship. So your non-negotiables should really only be 3 to 5 things. I know it's crazy. Mine are 5, so we can have 5 max, but it does not need to be this crazy long list, because then it's just like you're creating like an AI, AI created a, I don't know, husband. So you really, because everyone has their flaws, right? Like there's plenty of things about my fiance that I'm like, it's just like his little quirks. But the non-negotiables have been there with him since day one, and we're 3 years in. So non-negotiables, you really have to know yourself and what you value And again, so this doesn't mean that everything has to be the same. This doesn't mean like you have to eat the same food and you have to do the same hobbies and you have to like the same TV show and you have to like both be introverted or extroverted. It does not mean you need to be the same person at all. It's actually better if there's differences between you and your partner so that it adds complexity. There's some opposites. You can learn from each other. That's actually how you're truly compatible. But your core values and your non-negotiables of what you require in a relationship, they really need to align. Again, align, your core values and your partner's core values don't have to be the exact same, but they need to align, meaning you respect his, he respects yours, you have the same vision for your future, you're headed in the same direction, non-negotiables align. So without that, lack of clarity on who you are as a human and what you really want. And here, let me just pause there. What you really want. This is another issue, is that women fear getting actually so honest and clear about their true desires. They play it small. Oh, you know, I don't actually need that. It's okay if he doesn't want to do that. It's okay if he doesn't want the title, whatever. If you actually desire that, you must own that. So you must be so comfortable in who you are, know what you want, be able to own your desire, know your non-negotiables. Otherwise, your picker's going to be off because you're going to go, oh, that's fine. And you're going to not be rooted in yourself and just go along with like whatever gets you the guy. And there, again, this is a spectrum. So there's extreme versions of this where we completely self-abandon or we don't know who we are and we just like morph into someone else. There's also subtle versions of this where we're like, oh, that's okay. Like, as long as like, you know, I really want this to work out this time. And so there's like little micro moments of abandoning ourselves. So there you have it. The five reasons why your picker might be off. I'm going to recap. Number one, unhealed past experiences. Number two, not having a solid blueprint of what healthy love and communication looks like and feels like. Number three, being afraid of being alone or being single. Number four, low self-worth and low self-esteem. And number five, lack of clarity on non-negotiables. So here's where the work comes in. Which one is it for you? Maybe it's all of them. Maybe there's one that sticks out. This is the opportunity you get to accelerate the amount of time it takes to attract your ideal partner. Identify what is stopping you. Identify what is in your way, and then do the work around it to resolve it. This will send you light years ahead of your current circumstance. This is why I have clients attract their ideal partner within 2 months. 2 months. And with an RRA, you have everything laid out for you to overcome any of these five obstacles. So if you want the accelerated process, you want it laid out for you, join the waitlist for RRA. Go ahead and send me a message on Instagram at Malia_Manning. Link will be in the show notes, and say RRA. Let me know that you're interested so we can go ahead and get the conversation started. We're going to fill up for next round. I already know. So let me know you're interested and we'll start the conversation. And I also am curious, which one was it for you? Let me know. Send me a message on Instagram. Let me know which of the five stands out to you and you're really resonating with. And let's go ahead and get this process started to resolve this for you. And, you know, if you're in a relationship, this is still really, really important. You need to identify which of these is present for you. Because what happens for women who are in a relationship is you might find, maybe this is like you're with your person, but you still realize that both of you have to keep growing and evolving to sustain this. You need to identify what are your roadblocks. Or if you're in a relationship and you're thinking, you know, I don't know if this is right for me. I don't know if I'm with the right person. You need to identify what's getting in your way rather than pointing the finger and saying like, I think it's maybe he's not the right person. You need to become the right person And then if he is or is not the right person, that will become crystal clear. Okay, thanks for joining us today on Leah on Love. Let me know how you enjoyed the episode. Please give us a follow and a rating here on Spotify or a written review on Apple. It's so helpful. I would so appreciate it. And I will see you next week.